Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And that's the way it sounded. Wells Fargo Center yesterday. You thought it was up in New York. No, it was here. As Knicks fans take over in a Sixers loss, 97-92. This series is 3-1, and the Sixers are all but cooked. Game 5 tomorrow night up in New York. Joel Embiid after the game, not pleased with the lack of fans turning out here.
Y'all be ashamed of y'all, so.
Here it is.
You guys have always had such great home court advantage here. How strange was it for you the past two games with the significant amount of Knicks fans in the house?
Disappointing. I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. So, you know, they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. It's not okay.
It kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town, right? Joel's way.
That's the one.
A little passive aggressive. Like, I thought this was a sports town.
See, that's the one that got me right there. I mean, because, again, you know, I don't think it's far-fetched to say that a lot of sports figures look at social media or listen to what's being said about them. Joel Embiid strikes me as a guy that kind of, you know, knows what the pulse of the city is. So when you say things like that, knowing how people feel about some of your past performances, I just think that you probably should have stayed away from that. Even if you feel vindicated by saying what you're saying, you probably shouldn't say that. And that's where I'm at with it, because somebody can easily point out your box score like they did and look at your performance in the fourth quarter. You're 7-2, dog. I mean, and this is not me getting on you. This is just me pointing out the facts. You're the biggest player on the court at any given time. In four games, you got two rebounds in the fourth quarter. That's a fact. So someone that they could glean from that is that you came up short in the fourth quarter. I mean, and that's just the reality of it, because there are times in big games where you see the biggest players and the biggest stars, they have monster games, like Jalen Brunson, who has stepped up big in the last couple of games. Well, especially yesterday. Yeah, what he beat the franchise record for scoring points in the playoffs or whatever it was. Yeah, he's in the record books now. So when you have performances like that, I think it just kind of puts you in a tough spot when diehard fans hear you say things like that.
Yeah, and when he says the quote, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. My retort is it frustrates me because you're considered one of the best players in the league. Joel Embiid right now, and this, I guess this could change. I don't think any of us would bet on this because they'd have to win this series and then the next. Joel Embiid is the only NBA MVP in the history of the NBA to never play in a conference finals, ever. So, like, you want to question the sports town that Philadelphia is? Well, I can question the kind of superstar you really are. And here's how the question could have been answered. I get it. He was asked. To be fair to Joel, he wasn't just, like, saying this, right? He didn't just walk to his locker and say, hey, how about that crowd? They stunk today. No, he was asked the question. Also, I want to say, I know he's not really in the running for the Insider of the Year. I don't know what award we give Dave Uram. He asked the best questions in these press conferences. You ever notice these are always Dave Uram's questions?
Yeah, Dave,
I got to give that guy credit.
Shout out to Dave.
That's our guy.
He tends to get under people's skin a little bit.
He came back here earlier to sort of marinate in his work a little bit.
Good.
You guys like that Embiid stuff.
I did, Dave. Yep. Yeah, we appreciate it. That's a good question. Well, you got him to answer it. He did. And I understand he was put on the spot. Good job by the reporter. But he also could have answered it like, I don't know, Nick Nurse did, asked the same question basically by Dave. Here's how Nick Nurse responded to the fans yesterday.
But the road team has a significant amount of fans here that makes it seem like a different home game. How much more difficult does it make it?
Don't put much stock in that. Right? I think we can win here, win there, or win anywhere. Just got to play better.
That's it. that's the answer. That's it. Yeah, don't put too much stock in it. I'm with everyone that feels it is annoying. Like, it's annoying they took over the building. I said that on Friday. But I don't want to hear from Joel after a no-show in the fourth quarter. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jerry is up next. What's up, Jerry?
Jerry.
What's up, fellas?
You're back, Jerry. You're in the truck. How you doing, pal?
I'm back in the truck. The one horn was for Howie and the Eagles. The other was for the Phillies. And the other one was for Andy and Deford. I'm back in my truck, Andy. I love you, brother, but I'm back in the truck. So, yeah, I got 3 points, one on the Eagles, one on the Phillies, one on the Sixers. So, Howie hit it again. Ever since he's come out of the closet a few years ago, he's just been on fire as far as the draft goes and everything that he's done for this organization to bring in players, get rid of players, making the right picks, making the right trades. I mean, he was trading his butt off on Saturday. I think you had 9 trades or something like that, guys.
Yeah, he set the record for trades in a draft.
Yeah,
and then
messing around.
Jerry setting them up for next year because he got 3 picks for next year while he moved around on this one.
And I think that was his whole goal because he was just maneuvering around and he got some good players. You know, I'm so glad they got Trot. I'm going to have to get – I never got a Trot jersey. But I don't know why, but I'm going to get one now. So, and the Phillies. Phillies just keep on rolling. Their pitcher staff is unbelievable. There's only 4 teams in Major League that's got 19 wins, and the Phillies are one of them. And they're right on the tail of the Braves. They're actually in the hunt in April still, instead of being in a hole to have to dig out by July.
Jerry, you're totally right. The Phillies are playing excellent baseball. They sweep the Padres. We're going to get to some Phillies over the course of the show here. Jerry, we appreciate it. But the Phillies are playing great. I was joking in our meeting before the show. The best team in the city right now is the one that we're not talking much about because obviously the draft this weekend and the Sixers loss was ugly. But the Phillies are playing great. 19 wins. They sweep the Padres. They're in Los Angeles tonight. We'll do a little Phillies coming up later this hour. But I believe the Braves have the Mariners and the Dodgers on the road this week. There's a real chance the Phillies could be in first place by the end of this weekend coming up. The Braves, this is a tough stretch the Braves have. Good teams they're facing, good pitching. If the Phillies keep doing what they're doing against 2 teams they should beat, the Angels and Giants this weekend at home, we could come in here next Monday and they're in first place.
Yeah, I mean, and it's great to be. You're talking about the Mariners. They're not that great at like 15 wins on the season. The Braves have 19. So, but there's a chance that can go either way.
Yeah, well, and the Mariners have really good pitching. It's a road game. And then the Braves go to Los Angeles to play the Dodgers this weekend. So they could have some losses coming up. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
Good, Will. What's up?
Oh, man. Let me. I'm going to talk a little Eagles real quick and a lot of Sixers. All right. Hugh, I'm going to give you this. Thundercats.
Thundercats, oh!
You know what I mean, bro? Listen.
Yes.
You know what I like about them Thundercats? They hungry, and guess what? They're going to make Slay and all the rest of them guys play harder.
They're going to have to. If you want to keep your job, that's your best bet. You're going to have to go out there. You're going to have to be a little uncomfortable.
And that's why I like what you say about them Thundercats, man, because he got to play hard now, or you'll be sitting down. You know what I mean? Now, with the Sixers, let me tell you about this owner. Now, I'm going to give you my analogy. this owner is like, you know, when you have an apartment complex and you get a new owner, and he's a slumlord. That's mm-hmm. what this guy is. He's a slumlord. Everything's broken, and he ain't trying to fix anything. Just like this team. You know what I'm saying? Because my thing is this. I want to ask you guys this. How many teams have you known to win a championship with maybe 5 to 6 players playing 82 games? Because that's what the Sixers doing. They're trying to win 82 games with 5 to 6 players. And the reason why I always say take a page out of Dawn Staley's book, because she made the bench play harder, and she made them look like starters. You know what I'm saying? And she was there last night. Now, with Brunson, all you had to do is double-team him, or like we know back in the day, fundamentals. Put a hand in his face, just like the girl did to shut the point guard from Iowa down. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like right now, we got to look at the owner, man. You got to look at the coach, man, because ain't no way. You got the power forward in foul trouble. You got the center in foul trouble. And you don't send Embiid down low. And Embiid, stop laying the ball up and dunk. That's how you get a foul. You're not going to get it going soft to the lane. You know what I'm saying? But in our Philly fans, this is the last thing. We love Philly. We love our teams. But guess what? You got to have the heart and the will to finish. We're tired of seeing playoff. We want to see a championship. So if you can't deal with what we need, then guess what? You deal with the fans not showing up for you. And that's all I got.
Well, dude. Will, it's a good call, man. We appreciate the passion. I mean, Hugh mentioned that sequence late in the game where Joel, he has a shot. I mean, that's a jump shot, the one he passed up, Hugh, that he makes all the time. He chose to go to the basket. I think he did want the foul. He wanted maybe an and-one or whatever he was hoping for. And Huey got neither. He didn't get fouled, and he didn't make the layup.
Yeah, that was the tough part about it. It's that, because you had the shot. Like, that shot was a textbook shot. You could have made that easily.
Yep.
Nobody, it was not contested. You drove. You decided not to dunk, which I get. I understand that, because the last time you did something like that, you got hurt. But you didn't get anything out of it. It was like, you know, no return on anything. So, yeah, it was a tough spot to be in, no question.
Yeah, and there's been too many of these. You know, in 3 of the 4 fourth quarters in this series, Joel has been a zero. And it's just, it's very hard to win in the NBA when the teams are close if your best player is nothing in the fourth quarter. And Joel, as Hugh's pointed out a few times today, has 2 total rebounds in the fourth quarter of this series. 2 total rebounds.
And that's not a good look.
And it feels like every time they lose, it's the same thing we keep saying. Well, the Knicks keep rebounding. The Knicks keep getting all these offensive rebounds. Well, who's supposed to get the rebounds on the Sixers? Yeah, you could tell me, well, Tobias thinks he's not helping. We know that. But Joel Embiid is 7'2". He's a
7'2".
Center. You got to grab a rebound,
7'2",
man.
Bro. He's 7'2".
Josh Hart is what, 6'5", 6'6"? Jumping out of the gym, grabbing all these. He had 17 rebounds yesterday. Let's go to David in West Effort. Hey, David.
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
All right, David. We're getting, I mean, happy about this Eagles draft, but the Sixers are frustrating.
And, Joe, you just hit on the perfect point. Josh Hart had 17 rebounds. What did Tobias do last night?
Tobias, yes. Let me pull the box score back up.
Tobias.
Yeah, well, I didn't do that on purpose, but it probably fits. Tobias yesterday. Here is the box score for our old buddy Tobias Harris yesterday against the Knicks. So Tobias Harris played yesterday, just what we have in front of us, 34 minutes.
You sure he played?
Well, he was on the court, but I don't know if that counts.
Okay.
He 34 minutes. He made 4 shots, 10 points, 8 rebounds.
Oh, great. And so what did he do to elevate – what has he done in the last 4 years to elevate his game? I mean, hold on, let me check. He is a max contract player, right?
Yeah, he's done nothing. He's been almost a complete zero for 4 years.
It's just embarrassing. And everything you say about Joel, I can't agree with more, but I'm just sick of beating a dead horse. And we're – like, Tobias, I feel like every year just gets off the hook. Like, he is the reason why we can't do anything, right? We can't trade him at the trade deadline. He does – I don't even know what his role on the team is this year.
Stand in the corner, and when the ball comes to you, look almost afraid to shoot it. David, it's remarkable because when he got here, you know, he was in his mid-20s, and he was averaging about 20 points a game. It felt like, all right, if he could find a spot to fit in around Joel, it's a kind of a nice forward to have next to your big center, and it's never worked. He never produces, ever.
Or, like, he's afraid to even just, bang down low and grab a board or something. And I'm going to end with this. Trotter Jr., go Phils.
Love it, David. Appreciate it. Yeah, the Tobias thing, we are we're ending this contract on.
He gave you 10 points.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
I can't believe we've had to go through the whole contract. It feels like a brand of torture.
Because he's been consistent throughout these playoffs.
What does that mean?
I'm listen.
Dude.
Consistently.
Before
you get mad at me, Kyle, he's consistently give you 8 to 10 points every night.
Hugh, he's horrible.
I'm not saying he's not.
He is horrible.
Say he's horrible. Please. Do me a favor.
I'm just saying he's not good. He's giving you 8 to 10.
Can you please say a bad thing about Tobias Harris?
Can I just say this is bad? He got to give you more. Okay, is that bad?
No.
He has to give you
more. No, I want you to explicitly state what Tobias Harris is.
He's not worth the money that he's being paid.
I used to ask this question.
But
go ahead.
He's been consistent, Joe.
I used to ask this question, and this was a bigger deal than Tobias. But I used to ask this question at the end about Carson Wentz when people defend him. I used to just say a very simple question: what does he do well? And I'm going to ask this question about Tobias Harris. What does he do well?
Can be consistent.
Nothing. I mean, the answer is nothing. He doesn't shoot it well, doesn't defend well, doesn't rebound well, doesn't pass well.
Please finish the statement. Consistently what?
No, listen. If he wasn't starting and he was coming off the bench, that'd be a pretty good night
for him. But he is starting.
That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to make anybody more upset.
The length you will go to not say anything bad about Tobias Harris is wild.
Are you Terrell Harris in disguise?
Are you his dad?
No, but what I'm saying is I'm not trying to say anything to make anybody upset, but he has been the most consistent Sixer throughout this whole
thing. Can I give you some advice? I don't think there's anyone in the city that will be upset if you say something negative about Tobias Harris besides Tobias Harris.
He stinks. He has not stepped up at all.
He is horrible.
But he's been consistently
bad.
What is that? Like, he's averaged like 8 points this whole series.
Dude. He stinks.
I have 7 letters to describe Tobias Harris. Ready for this word? Useless. Useless in this series. He has been.
No, I'm not saying he hasn't, but when I look at the box score, I'm like, oh, Tobias Harris doing what he did the other night.
And I'm watching Josh Hart, who stunk yesterday on offense, grab 17 rebounds.
No, yeah, you got to figure out. We've said this last year about this playoff run. If you're not scoring points, you got to
do something else, man. Do something to help. And Josh Hart helps his team, and I got Tobias Harris. You're doing nothing.
This is, again, why I look a lot at Daryl Morey for this loss yesterday. They had a chance to offload Tobias at the deadline, and they didn't. And once again, everybody was okay with it.
Because they're saving the cap room for LeBron James.
Yeah, can't freaking wait. I'd rather keep Tobias Harris to get LeBron James next year.
You should dump that, okay? For my sanity, for yours, and I think it's offensive what you just said.
I might tweet it as a basketball fan,
I'm offended as if you cursed.
I might even tweet it.
All right, Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
It's kind of hard for me to feel bad for Joel, man. Because to me, it comes down to mental toughness. And by him even addressing the fans shows where his mental toughness is. He was more worried about the fourth quarter. He was more worried about the fans cheering, the Knicks fans cheering, than scoring more than 2 points in the fourth quarter. And here's the matter of the fact of it is. And I'm going to get on that notes too, but the Sixers have had a 10-point lead in every game this series. And they still haven't won one of those games. And somehow the Sixers miraculously get by the first round. These guys aren't even getting to the Eastern Conference. I don't think so. Because to me, it comes down to coaching also. You got one guy score 50 points. Half of the team points, Nick Nurse. To me, it was like a Doc Rivers game to me. You don't double team one time. I kept seeing ISO with Brunson. When you had DiConvincio, he had 8 points. Hart had 4 points. And you let Brunson just torture the whole game. I didn't see one double team. Nick Nurse, I need the adjustment. I'm here. You're a better coach than Doc Rivers. I need that adjustment, bro. Like, this is like the same old stuff with these Philly sports. I heard one caller say it before. And I heard Kyle say it before. It's heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. We're Philadelphians. Yeah, we like to go to the playoffs, but we like to win. We're not losers. We like to be in second place. We don't like to get to the finals and lose. We don't like to make the playoffs, lose in the first round or the second round. We like to win. So 6-0 and B, I don't want to hear about those fans, bro. Are you kidding me? I want you to show some dominance. I heard you said earlier, look at Ant-Man. This guy is opposing his will. That's when you're a great player. You oppose your will.
He's a killer. Yeah, I mean, you could see it, right? He's young, but he's a killer. And Terrence, that's my issue with it. Like, I get it. I felt similar to Embiid. But, like, after the game, after you stunk it up in the fourth quarter, the response has to be, I got to play better. I need to give them something to cheer about. That's absolutely the way you answer that.
Yeah.
One more quick thing I want to say about us getting Cooper and Mitchell. I feel like it's a great thing because that's letting me know that Slay and Bradbury, you guys are on the time clock. If you keep getting burnt toast this year, your time is up, fellas. Your time is up.
No, like no that question. Like Terrence, man, you're right. We appreciate it. I mean, I think Bradbury's time is already up. I don't think Bradbury's going to be playing on this team very much longer, whether it's a cut after June 1st or whatever. And then we threw out the idea earlier that if these Thundercats, as you would call
young
them,
Thundercats,
if
man.
They play well in camp, maybe the Eagles would be moved to make a trade. And again, it doesn't mean they're – I go back to the Sam Bradford thing with Wentz. I don't think the plan was to trade Sam Bradford to you before the season started, but a team lost their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Their young quarterback looked like he was ready in camp, and they said, all right, well, take him. So – like imagine if a playoff team loses a good starting corner and they're like, oh, we're screwed.
Yeah, well, and the he's Eagles expendable.
The Eagles have a starting corner.
I tell you what, man. As a, if I was back in the day when I was playing, and the Eagles went out and got, say, for instance, just for the sake of the room, four defensive ends in the draft, however they got them. Like as good as I was, I would not be comfortable. Because that means that they're looking – like, let's be realistic here. They feel that there needs to be an upgrade at that position, so much so that they're playing the numbers game. Like, I'm just being honest.
It's like
they're playing his numbers
throwing
game.
Darts, hopefully one's going to hit.
Hopefully one of them's going to stick,
three,
or two
yeah.
or three. Now, we can say, like, Quinyon Mitchell, regardless to how – we can talk about this all you want to talk about it, was considered the best corner in the draft, hands down. You got him. You have another guy who was projected as a first rounder, and you got him in the second round. I'm not comfortable. I don't give a damn if I am coming off a Pro Bowl. That they are telling you, and when you look at that room, they are saying that we feel like we can upgrade at this position. We feel like we need to upgrade this secondary. And guess what? Whether you want to believe it or not, you're a part of that. I would not be sleeping well at night knowing that somebody's coming for your job. And you best to be ready. If you really want to be here and you love the city like you say you do, then you best to be uncomfortable because this is what this is going to be. You're going to be – remember when Jimmy Johnson took over for the Miami Dolphins? And we all knew that Dan Marino wasn't a rollout quarterback. He was a pocket passer. What did Jimmy Johnson make him do? He made his ass get out the pocket and start running around, moving around. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be uncomfortable in this situation. And if I'm one of those corners, you bet. Like, I don't know what you were doing this weekend, but this upcoming week, you better be getting ready to go out there and fight for your job.
Compete.
Yeah, for real.
I like that.
You better be ready to fight for your job.
After what we saw last year, I think we all should welcome that. Some competition in the secondary. And if the young guys are the best guys, the old guys can get out of here. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to all your reaction here on the Eagles, the draft, what they did, Cooper DeJean, Jeremiah Trotter. At 1 o'clock, Hugh's going to give his thoughts on maybe the most intriguing draft pick of them all, the third-round pick, the pass rusher that very few knew about. We'll get to that coming up at 1. On the other side, your calls on Embiid, on the Eagles, and we will give a few minutes to the hottest team in town, the one the team just keeps winning, the 19-10 Phillies, including a couple players that are just off to red-hot starts this season. That's next, Midday Show.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And this one's blasted way back to left field. And that is gone. And man, Alec Bohm is ready. He jumps on the first pitch from Dylan Cease. It's his fourth homer of the season. He stays white hot and gives the Phillies an early 2-0 lead.
Yeah, white hot is the perfect way to put it. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. The Sixers are bothering all of us. Whether you're annoyed at Embiid or you're sympathizing with Embiid, the Sixers choked again yesterday. A really fun Eagles draft. We'll see how it all plays out, but they got some young Thundercats to put in the secondary. We'll get to one of them specifically coming up at one. But Hugh, the team that was totally under the radar this weekend casually went out to San Diego and got themselves a sweep. The Phillies take care of business. Yesterday got a little choppy at the end because Taiwan wasn't exactly great. But Friday they win. Saturday, Ranger Suarez goes out there.
Does Ranger things.
Oh my goodness. Extends the scoreless inning streak to over 32 innings. And then the one guy that just every day does something. Are we watching the Alec Bohm breakout? You know, he's been
feels like it.
He's been solid. He's been a pretty decent offensive player. I would only say okay though for his first few years. Defense, we know, went from horrendous to serviceable. But Hugh, you look at his numbers right now after this weekend. He is hitting 365.
365.
441 on base. He's slugging 615. He has not struck out much. He's walked a lot. Hugh, this is the best we've ever seen Alec Bohm.
Yeah, and it's starting to feel like this team is starting to find its groove and hitting season and start for him. The thing that I've been looking at, you know me, that just the consistency at the plate and their ability to score runs, that's going to be huge. That's why they're going neck and neck with the Braves right now.
So 13 days ago, Alec Bohm was hitting .237 with a .704 OPS. They've played 12 games since then. He has 25 hits in those 12 games, hitting .521 in his last 12 games, and his OPS has been on about 1,500, three home runs. He's been the best hitter in baseball for the past 12 days. And you know what's kind of fun? Not everyone's hitting here, right? Bryce has hit okay. Schwarber's had some moments. Trey's had mostly good the last few weeks. But you know what's fun? It's like every week it's someone new that's red hot, right? It was Marsh. Then it was Turner. Now it is Bohm. That's the fun thing about having all these hitters in the same lineup that, you know, they could take turns carrying the day, and it's Bohm right now.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like it did for the Braves last year. You talk about that lineup that they had, and they had hitters throughout that lineup. It kind of feels like this is the Phillies' time to have the same thing happen for them this season.
So let me throw a question to you guys, because Ranger's been great the whole year, right? His ERA is in the ones. Alec Bohm is on a crazy pace right now. Would you rather bet on Bohm MVP or Ranger Suarez Cy Young?
I'll take Cy from Ranger. So hitters are they go run hot and cold.
They do, and there's a lot of great position players in the National League. But the fact that I could say that, which one would you rather bet on, shows how good they've been. I think Ranger's 15-1 for the Cy Young now, and Bohm's down to 50-1 for MVP. It was 200-1 a week ago. So people have taken notice, and I'm taking notice of the Phillies. They just keep winning. Every single game. this road trip, which, you know, a little choppy in Cincinnati, they're 5-2 on the trip. And now they get to go play the Angels. And you know what that means tonight, Hugh? You know who's on the other side of the field tonight?
Your boy.
Mike Trout. Well, could we send Dave Uram out to Los Angeles to ask him?
Trout the questions.
I mean, he'd be the one to do it, right?
Yeah. He's pretty straightforward, man. There's no, you know, when it comes to Dave Uram asking questions, ain't no wiggle room. He just asked them straightforward questions.
And when it comes to the Phillies, you know, I know the first week or so, we were like, oh, there, they said they'd get off to a hot start. They didn't. It's almost the end of April. They have 19 wins. What do we got, 2 days left in April? They can end April with 21 wins. If my math is correct, they're 19-10 with 2 games to go here. That's a lot of wins.
And that's a better start than they had last year around this time, if I'm not
mistaken. Way better. Yeah, this is the best start they've had since 2011.
Much ado about nothing, but I understand. You know, I'm not mad at baseball fans for just feels like just yesterday we were killing this team about them not hitting anything like that, not scoring a whole lot of runs. It's the ebb and flow of the game.
Well, and Topper did say they would slug. I believe they now lead the National League in home runs. So the Phillies have been really good. Now, there is the other side of this, of course. There's our boy Taijuan Walker yesterday, debuted his first start of the season as he kind of elbowed his way back into the rotation. And yesterday, Taijuan Walker, Hugh, not exactly
not
great.
Not especially when I said he was all right. And you looked at me like, are you kidding me? Not compared to what you know, we've had in the starting lineup before. No, he wasn't great.
He ended up with 6 runs allowed. Now, I will give Topper a little flack. I thought he should have taken him out before he allowed that last home run, which kind of threw off his whole stat line. But the bottom line is he was responsible for 6 runs allowed yesterday. It's just rare to see a Phillies pitcher get smacked around or hit around because we just haven't seen it at all almost the entire season. So Walker comes in yesterday. Not great. The offense made up for it. Kyle, what hit you the most from the weekend? Ranger, Boehm, the Walker debut?
Yeah. Like, Taijuan Walker is already ruining the vibes of this field. I get they won. I'm not trying to be Mr. Negative here because the Phillies are red hot and they look great. But you look across the, like, every scoreboard, it's, you know, Phillies pitcher Wheeler puts up or allows 1 run. Nola, like, you know, 2, 3. Rangers, 0. And then Taijuan Walker with, like, a 6-piece. Get this guy out of my rotation. He's going to kill the vibes of this entire team, the entire pitching staff. I just think he's a loser. I think he's a loser's mentality. He's a losing type player, losing
that is
pitcher.
So
it's, well, it's true. Like, I can't. I'm gonna curse if I continue. So
deep breaths.
I can't do the Taijuan Walker thing anymore.
There
I
is a
can't.
Tobias Harris element to Walker.
Oh, what? That he won't rip either of them?
Well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not. Wait a minute.
Say something negative about either of them, Hugh.
What are you talking about?
Do it.
We miss Spencer Turnbull.
So here's an interesting part about the Turnbull thing. I'm glad you said that. So he's not actually out of the rotation yet. So they said he was going to be, right? He was going to go to the bullpen.
Yes.
But because the starters were so good this weekend, aside from Taijuan, they didn't need much of the bullpen Friday, Saturday. Because,
yeah.
I mean, Nola was good on Friday, Ranger Saturday. So they're going to use him to start tomorrow and give all the other starters extra rest. So I guess for one turn, we got 6-man rotation here. But Turnbull's going to start tomorrow and give Wheeler the extra day. Christopher Sanchez tonight. And just one quick thing on the Phils here with the runs, and then back to your phone calls and everything. Since, well, I forget exactly when we had the conversation. I think it's right when Hugh made his proclamation of the 6 runs per game.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, they're averaging 6.25 runs per game.
Yes.
6.25 since you said
yes.
It.
Yes. Yes.
Now their average for the season is still 4.66.
Yeah, but
so,
it's like, yeah, for the last rising. Couple weeks, I'm rising. I'm getting, hey, listen. I feel I'm in a good space right now.
And you heard about the Twitter account that was created, right?
No, what was
One
it?
One of our listeners created. What was it called, Kyle?
It's called Hugh Needs Runs.
That's what it's called. Let me see if I can.
Yeah, you got to look it up.
I'm sure they're following you.
The
Hugh.
Picture is you in the overalls, the Phillies overalls.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. They're doing like
they're tracking it.
They're putting in the work. Yeah, they're doing like the average, how many more runs they need this season, like all this stuff. It's good stuff.
Well, thank you because every day we come in here trying to do the math and we kind of mess it up.
We're not very good at math.
No, that not at all. That is
fine. I'm pretty good at math.
Yeah, so we could use that help and we appreciate whatever that is out there. All right, 215-592-9494. You can comment on the Phillies, of course, the Eagles draft and the Sixers nonsense. Dennis is up on WIP. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, how we doing?
Dennis, well, aside from the Sixers, I'm doing really well.
I would like to preface the call by saying Hugh's take with the Phillies runs is the only saving grace he has.
Wait a minute. Hold up, Dennis. What did I do?
I'll just tell you, I was minding my own business, driving in the car, and then you had to trigger me with your take of Tobias Harris being the most consistent pitcher. I almost drove off the road and had an aneurysm.
Dennis, first of all, I did not mean to do that. Most of the time when I say stuff like that, it's to trigger Kyle. But to be fair, to be fair, Tobias Harris in this playoff series has been like he has been consistently doing what he does every night.
Consistently bad.
Okay.
Yeah, my passes are consistent, Hugh. Doesn't mean I want them.
I'm sorry, Dennis. I'm sorry. I did not mean to trigger you. Mostly that's for Kyle.
I told him if it wasn't for him, it would have been worse. And I don't know if you trolled him on purpose, but good Lord, this guy, like every time he has the ball near within 15 feet, tell me he doesn't tense up and look like, oh my God, if I don't make this, it's the end of the world.
No, Dennis, you know, every time I see him, every time that he misses a shot or he takes a shot, I say crumble cookie. Because he crumbles. Like he crumbles. And to this point, that's why I'm trolling Kyle. It's like every night, it's almost like he's just comfortable doing just enough so that he can show up on the box score.
Do me a favor and just tell me so that I do not have to lump your NBA takes in with Kendrick Perkins, where nobody wants to be.
You don't like Kendrick Perkins' takes?
Just say he's consistently bad for me. Just once.
All right, then, Dennis. He is consistently bad.
Thank you. Dennis, thank you for pulling that out
goodness.
Of him. It only took us weeks. Dennis, man, good phone call. I like Perk, by the way.
Perk has some great takes,
man. He's fun. He's good on TV.
And a lot of times, I know, like, a lot of times they say stuff just to get people going, but he has some really good takes, though.
Yeah, he's fun on TV.
And he put that Beijing. You know he dyes his beard, though. Him, Trey Thomas, a couple other.
Have you ever considered doing that?
Nah.
Got the good salt and pepper.
Nah.
Man.
But you know what's funny? I did see something. It's funny now since I've been saying stuff about people's beards need to be dyed. I saw this shampoo the other day that gradually dyes your beard back black.
You saw it in real life?
Came on my algorithm.
Because
they hear me talking about it. Yeah. They hear me hating.
Now you're going to start getting Tobias Harris propaganda as part of your algorithm.
Yeah, I definitely am. I'm definitely going to get that.
So there is a silver lining to this Sixers thing. Has anyone else thought about this?
Like Tobias Harris is out of here.
Well, the quicker this ends, the quicker he's no longer on the team. I mean, that there's if they lose tomorrow night and it's over in five games, that's disappointing, and the season is over. But that means he's officially off the books. Like there's no more Tobias Harris here, and they'd have all that cap room to spend on somebody else, anybody else. I mean, honestly, anything would be better. Joe in the Northeast, what's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe, how you doing? You know, I'll give it Kyle another call in reference to Walker because I'm a Walker backer right now. And with the problem with our bullpen where in previous years where we don't have guys who can pitch in it more than one inning, it would be better having Turnbull out there because, like I said, Walker did not have that bad of a year last year. You compare his ERA with what Nola and Suarez had, but again,
it was similar. Joe, you're right. It was similar.
Another time.
Yeah, we'll do this. We'll do the Walker stuff next time he screws up. Yeah,
a good spot for you might be to get a local ticket broker on the station knows. And a reference to this ticket problem. Eskiner came out with something about that the Sixers were involved with releasing some tickets to New York fans. So you know, when you have these seven-game series and you don't have the home court advantage, the most you'll be playing will be four games on the road. You shouldn't have to play in an environment where you're playing seven games on the road. And that's what we're showing the team here in Philadelphia. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's criticize Nick Nurse a little bit. Huh? First of all, in game two, we got jobbed by the refs, but he also didn't handle his challenges right in reference to Lowry.
I agree with you. Game two was a tough spot for him. Yep,
that
did not do well.
That cost him a ball game there, okay? And yesterday, they kept showing you shots of the sidelines. All I saw that man doing was going back and forth with the refs, okay? He was not going to get any calls. How about coaching your team, all right? Joe, you can watch it. If you didn't see it live, watch it the replay. When Kyle Lowry was going to the foul line with 7 seconds left, he said something to one of his players. He was going to miss the foul shot. I saw it right on his lips. Mm-hmm. He said about missing it. Okay, did all our five players know that he was going to miss that shot?
I don't
because,
know
because Maxey and Oubre, we're back at midcourt. They should have been up. they're closer. You got to be closer because you get that. If they know that he's going to miss the shot, you need a three. You only got 7 seconds, so you need to be closer just to get that shot off. They could have maybe got to that tap. The ball got tapped out.
That's fair, and that's preparation, and that's all being on the same page. Joe, it's a good phone call. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and say that Nick Nurse has been great in this series. But is anyone else tired of talking about the coach when it comes to the Sixers? We did this with Brett Brown. Brett Brown, well, he wasn't really a coach. Let's get a championship
coach. And you got
coach.
Well,
we got
outside
Doc Rivers,
of Doc
right?
Rivers.
And then he stunk.
Yeah.
And now we're doing a Nurse. Has anyone, like, you could go find the ghosts of Red Auerbach, Phil Jackson, Larry Brown. You pick your favorite coach. If Joel Embiid has no energy in the fourth quarter, it doesn't matter who's on the sidelines. I think we look for the little thing so we don't have to talk about the big thing. Well, Nick Nurse made a mistake here and there. I don't disagree, Joe. He has made some mistakes. But we're on a third coach now. The same star. If he can't do it in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, what is the coach going to do?
I don't – like for me, and I think this is a fair assessment, when you look at the playoff series, at least the ones that I've been here, there's been games where it looks like Joel Embiid has turned a corner and become that dude. And then there's games where it almost looks like, you know, you have to ask yourself, dude, what are you doing? Like last night for me, I was more disappointed in him not taking the open shot that he had and going to the rim and not making that shot. That was a little disappointing, especially when you talk about the timing that was on the clock. And then there was a moment where, you know, we talked about how Jalen Brunson came down the court and Joel Embiid had him and he let him go and he was able to score. There's that. And then the 15 chance rebounds that they had during the course, it was like a run where the Knicks shot it like 15 times at one end of the court and they kept getting rebounds. As a 7-2 guy, the last thing on my mind, and this is just me and this is just how I'm wired, the last thing on my mind is reprimanding the fan base for the Knicks fans being there. That's just me. That's just how I'm wired, knowing that if I'm the biggest damn dude on the court, my presence has to be felt at all times.
And both of their centers weren't in the game.
Yeah, as the biggest dude on the court, bottom line, regardless of what I'm feeling like or whatever, because I feel like if I'm out there, every excuse that I've had has to go out the door. If I'm the biggest dude on the court, I have to come up bigger than what I did in that situation.
I didn't view that as Embiid making an excuse, though. Like, he was asked a question about the fans, and he expressed his frustration.
But Kyle,
he didn't say, sucked because I was Embiid.
It's like this. You got to be able to read the room. That's just like perfect example. If your girlfriend asks you, even if it's the truth, do I look fat in this dress? What are you going to say? Like, seriously, what are you going to say? Even if what are you going to say? You're going to be like, no, baby, you look great. It's the same thing. You're not going to be like, well, you know, technically, you did eat those cheese fries last night. And you look a little soft around the middle. Well, you're not going
to
do that.
It's hard to read the room, and half the room is Knicks fans.
So I have – this is my theory on Joel. And it's every year it's something – he has a knack for finding a way to change the conversation when he sucks. Remember when after – in Game 7 against the Raptors, I believe he had 8 turnovers. Not the Raptors, the Hawks. I believe he had 8 turnovers. What did he say after the game? Ben didn't dunk the ball. We had a dunk there. We didn't do it. We didn't talk all summer about his 8 turnovers because he changed the conversation.
I don't think this is him changing the conversation.
Sure is.
No, it's not. He was asked about the fans. He wasn't asked about his performance, and then he said the fans.
Put it back to himself.
It was the same conversation.
Nick Nurse was asked
about it. So you want him to change the conversation?
Back to himself.
Back to himself.
Yes.
Okay.
He does every year. He said, what did he say about Harden a few years ago? He does this every year. Every time he is bad in a big moment, I think he's smarter than we give him credit for. I think he's a really bright guy.
He's really smart.
Yeah, but we say, oh, what is he supposed to do? What do you mean? Choose your words. Well,
you got to be a little bit more tactful.
Hold on a second. Like that. I don't agree with you when you said that, like, they know, you know, Phil Jackson, whatever, like, coming in. Like, Joel Embiid, there was a path to the Sixers winning that game, even with Joel Embiid in the condition he was in. The Sixers as a team didn't make a shot for 5 minutes.
But he's their best player.
I know he is, Joe, but there are other guys on the court. They lost by 5 points. They could have won that game even with Joel Embiid and as bad as doing nothing,
but
in the fourth quarter.
Why don't
nobody else did anything?
Why don't we just have the best player win the game? Like, what, this is basketball.
Because it doesn't always work like that. Jalen Brunson was Buns for 3 games.
But it usually
he was Brunson.
If you're going to win a title, that's how it usually works.
Right. Okay. But you can't expect that every single game. Sometimes that's just not how it works.
I got you. Three out of four have been not that. I'm not asking for like half the games. I don't know. Not three out of four where you stunk in the fourth quarter. All right. By the way, so Joe brought this up. And I want to give this is a tweet from Howard yesterday. He has some information here on the ticket stuff. Do you see this, Hugh? This is Howard. Howard's asked around on how this has happened, right? Because it's like, all right, we get it. People don't want to go. We've debated for two games now whose fault this is. So Howard's putting some of this on the Sixers as an organization, their ticket policy. This is Howard's tweet yesterday. There's been a lot of complaining, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, by Philadelphia fans and some Sixers players about the Sixers home games being overrun by Knicks fans. The Sixer organization is in big part to blame. Your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers, 10, 9, 8, 76ers put thousands of tickets on the ticket sites and above retail prices, knowing Knicks fans will buy them. The organization will likely push back on this, but for that organization, it's all about making every dollar. I have checked this out. It's fact. And they do know those stinking New York fans will be buying them. So if Sixers players are pissed, blame your own organization. That's from Howard yesterday.
Interesting. I mean, because that kind of plays into what I said last week. They know the Knicks fans are going to pay for them, and they did. They did.
I mean, the way that's framed, it does take a little bit off the blame off of an individual fan that's selling them. Because there is that feeling that people are selling them directly to Knicks fans. Like the way this is framed, it's almost like the Sixers are the middleman in this problem. That they're jacking up those prices and people from not
and
here.
And people are paying. I mean, it's an easy trip, man. And I tell you, like I lived in New York. Coming here and going, I would imagine paying for concessions. And everything that they're doing, hotel room and everything, it's probably like vacation time. They probably feel like they got an all-inclusive when they come down here compared to what it is to go to the Garden.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe some of the same people stayed Thursday through the weekend. They got tickets to both games.
Is it cheap to go to the Link in a playoff game?
No.
Would this ever happen at the Link?
Nah. But it's different, though, man.
Because we're a football town.
Well, it's. I think that when you talk about, to me, When I think about the two franchises, and I would even give the Flyers, I even throw the Flyer fans in there and what they saw this year, is that this town plays or is excited about, even if the team is bad, the effort that's given, you know. And I think that can even be said for the Phillies, because there was a time before I got here where the Phillies weren't that great, but people were still going, not to the effect that they're going now, but they were still excited about it because there was the effort there. And then when the effort came, that's when the fans came back. It feels to me, man, just by reading the tea leaves, you know, the favorite thing I like to say, that people feel with this Sixers team that they're phonies.
I'll tell you why the fans are phonies. Because the Eagles lost six of their last seven games, or I guess five of the last six before that playoff game. If that playoff game was not in Tampa and it was here, Would it be overrun by any other fan base? No, it'd be full of Eagles fans, even though they just pissed us off for 5-6 weeks straight.
Agreed, but they also win the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah, not only that, let's be real, Kyle. All year long, people made excuses for the Eagles, and we even made excuses. We even tried to talk ourselves into them being a playoff caliber team, even though we all knew that they weren't.
Well, that's my point.
We all knew that they were.
Like we give the Eagles that leash. Like I think pack the stadium every time, no matter what.
I think the delusion has worn off for the Sixers.
I agree. I agree.
The delusion. I think that's what it is. Because I did not believe that Sunday was going to be like it was the other night. I didn't believe that. I did not believe that was going to be the case, and it was.
You know what those passionate fan bases are? Delusional.
Yeah, but after a while, you
they just are.
After a while, you stop believing in a certain player.
Why are Knicks fans are delusional?
Sure they are.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're talking up. They're like they're going to win the title.
Well, they're
this
driving
year.
Down here, spending all of our money to take all of our seats.
Well, sometimes
in our stadium.
Ignorance is bliss, and they got to get smacked around a couple rounds from now, and then they'll realize what they are. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. We'll come back. We'll hit your phone calls. Are you annoyed at UL today? I am. You know, it's one thing to not play great, and he hasn't played great in three of the four fourth quarters. It's another thing to also then say, well, and, you know, the fans kind of annoyed me. Well, you annoyed me with the way you played. No show in the fourth quarter. All right. Along with all that, Phillies talk and the Eagles draft. We got to get Hugh's perspective. There's like one unknown in this draft that even if you can look up some highlights, you don't know much about. You probably never saw on TV. That was the third round pick. He had a really funny entrance to being an Eagle when he spoke to Howie. We'll let you hear that. And Hugh's assessment of Jalix Hunt, the pass rusher the Eagles got in the third round. That's next, along with your calls on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.